Now, guess what? Several years ago now, Phyllis Dumont was air traffic controller. And she brought in this young lady that, I don't know, she just, everybody fell in love with her. She just knocked everybody's socks off. And then she came in with her two little girls, and everybody fell in love with her two little girls. And her hubby didn't exactly know what to think about all this. And we were up at Harmony Grove, and we were having circles up there at Harmony Grove. Everybody knows where that is in Escondido. And we had this circle, and her husband thought, well, he's going to find out what this is kind of all about. But he loves his wife, and certainly doesn't want her to get in anything too strange. So she babysat, and he came to the circle. And you know how those little spots in your life just stand out, little touches maybe just, and you don't, it just, I don't know, I guess they're just little leaps of joy that just stand out. And for the rest of my life, I'll remember when I passed by him, when we closed the circle and I was passing by him. And he reached out and hugged me. And he said, now I know why my wife loves this. And from that day, he has backed her up, even though he's the one that usually needs to stay home and babysit or whatever when she comes here. But he backs her up, and she steps up forward to work for God in every way she can. She hardly, even though she's still working up there with the, it's called the FAA, I guess. And I have Future Farmers of America stuck in my head, you see, all those years ago. So I have to be careful when I say that. But this young lady is still working, being a really good mother. And the reason I know she's a good mother, she has two wonderful little girls. Those little girls are just adorable. They're wonderful. One's growing into be a young woman now, but just wonderful, wonderful children. So this young lady is not putting anything ahead of her children or anything ahead of her God work or anything ahead of her husband. She's just stepping up to work for God in whatever way she can. And I know God is standing up there, jumping up and down and clapping his hands. For our speaker tonight, this little Jody.
It's going to make me cry.
It's true. She just does it all. It does it all.
It's the Federal Aviation Administration. Well, the answer to one of those songs where they say, "Is it I, Lord?" The answer is yes. If anybody was wondering, the answer is yes. I was so excited to, I would crawl over my own, I'd climb over my own mother to get a chance to stand up here at the podium and talk, so hopefully you guys are excited about it as I am. My apologies to anybody who sat on my stool tonight. I won't put onions on my tacos next Wednesday. Sorry about that. Kind of had an idea of what I was going to talk about tonight, but it really didn't come into shape until I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago just for a conference with my work. But it was nice because although I've been there several times, this was the first time that it was light beyond 5 o'clock. So before, when I've gone, we worked all day. We got off at 5 and I took the metro and I went back to my hotel. And I was didn't really go out and everything was closed anyway. So well, or so I thought. Anyway, this time we had a little bit more free time and a little bit more daylight, so we went out and saw the sights. And if you haven't been to Washington, D.C., it's pretty inspiring, you know. It's really an amazing place. And I was disappointed that at my age, which on Saturday I'm going to be 40, a full 40 years old. And that's the first time I've really actually reflected on Washington, D.C. And, you know, we sing God Bless America, and Millie talks about not grumbling about our leaders and try to support our leaders, but it doesn't really hit you until you go to some of these places and really appreciate the history that makes up our country. And It was really interesting because a friend that I was with asked me, what was I feeling? We were at the Lincoln Memorial, and on one side of it is the Korean Memorial, and the other side is the Vietnam Memorial, and then right smack there, and then the reflecting pool and the Washington Monument. It's a sight to see. And my friend asked me, what do you feel? And I was deliberately avoiding even tuning in because I knew how much energy and power was there. I mean, you can feel it without having practiced or taken Millie's classes or come to a church like this. And so I started to let myself feel, and I was so moved by, I mean, but tears, but they were every kind of tear you could possibly have. Pride, joy, love, sadness, sorrow, devastation, betrayal, every possible emotion that could be connected with tears. And it was like, I wanted to sit there and sob, but I thought everybody would think I was just making a big show, you know. But really what I wanted to do was just sit there and sob, because it was just so incredible. So then I got to thinking about the polarities that really drive a place like Washington, D.C., where you have all that inspiration, but all weaved into that is the corruption and the negativity. And you can feel that too, although I think that the good overpowers the negativity there. But the reality is that we really do have those two opposing sides, good and negativity, or light and the absence of light. So what I wanted to talk about is today is using your powers for good instead of evil. it was kind of like the League of Justice, you know. It's really not very far off from DC Comics, where it's the good guys and the bad guys, and, you know, who's going to get to the button first. So I don't want to bring the energy down, but there's parts of this earth that really aren't very pretty. And the reality is, it's Earth School, and so with Earth School comes the element of negativity. But there's a few things that we can maybe get a little bit of comfort in. Like, I have a really close friend of mine who always says to me, if you only knew how normal you were, you wouldn't feel so alone, because really it is normal. There's nothing new under the sun. And let's see, so my first little reference here, this was back, so this is still the Old Testament, and here's sorrow for Israel's sins, and this is in the book of Micah. It's Micah 7, and here's the complaint, and tell me if you've heard this before. Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright man among men. They all lie and wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. And then it goes on to further say, you know, they may successfully do evil, which I'll replace with negativity, that they may successfully have negative effects. By the prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bride, and the great man utters his evil desire. And so they scheme together the best and the worst. And so have you heard that before? Like, this is how many years ago, how many thousands of years ago, where it was the same thing. Say, you know, if you watch the evening news, and if I watch CNN or too much news, I really get upset and get depressed, because I feel a little bit helpless. Like, you know, what can I do? There's so much. Where do you start, you know? And I asked Millie one time about that, and she said, oh, honey, you just have to start with your next-door neighbor. You know, just start where your sphere of influence is. And that helped me feel a lot better. But there, you know, with understanding that the reality is that there's going to be negativity, you can kind of start to have a basic understanding of why bad things have to happen. Why bad things happen. It's just part of life. It's just part of Earth School. And it's unavoidable, because if there wasn't that negativity, then I guess this would be heaven and it wouldn't be Earth. There was a quote that I really liked from Abe Lincoln, and it says, when under trials, we should look continually to God so that we may have Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. This isn't him. Okay, wait. Nearly all men can stand adversity, which adversity, difficulties, and misfortune is the little bit, couple more words. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. So that goes back to the Washington, D.C. thing and whether or not you're going to use your powers for good and evil, good or evil. So, let's see. And Jesus obviously is the ultimate example of using your powers for good. And Millie points that out a lot. When under trials, we should look continually to God so that we may have strength and grace to trust in Him and to be examples to those around us. So basically, I mean, I'm hoping that we can all think about, you know, whether we're using our powers for good or evil, and starting next door, starting with the person next door, and, you know, prayer and being an example and living with God. My mom had told me about the history, or, you know, if you break down the word sin, it actually goes back to living without God. So if they talk about people living in sin, it's not necessarily living in sin. You're just living without God and not knowing God. So it makes it easier to read in the Bible about sin and evil when you can replace those two words, negativity and sin, really just being not knowing God. And there was a really good example of one of the ways that Jesus used, or Jesus helped connect people and was an example and kind of drew people into his spiritual garden. And it's in John 4, where he meets a Samaritan woman by a well, and he tells her, you know, I have water that if you drink it, you'll never be thirsty again, and I have food that if you eat it, you'll never be hungry. And I think this is a really good example of what we do at the church about mediumship, because he proceeded to tell her, let's see, where is it? Well, he tells her to go back. You know, she says, tell me more about this water. And so he says, well, go back, go get your husband and come back. And she goes, I don't have a husband. And he goes, yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So he's already demonstrating her that he knows a little bit more about her than she realizes. And so she runs back to get the husband. And so not only does Jesus basically give her a reading, kind of what Millie does, because she says, he told me everything about me. He told me my whole life. She goes back to her city and says, he told me everything about me. Like, and it's such a good example of what we do here. And so then she goes back and she tells everybody, and then they all come. But not only do they believe, they don't stop at believing what she said, Jesus proceeds to basically read all of them, in a sense, so that not only did they have her coming back, but then they actually got a little bit of a taste of that mediumship as well. And it kind of gives that little tiny bit of proof that some people need to kind of help lead them to knowing God a little bit better and in a little bit more, a little bit less fearful of a way, which I thought that was a really good example. So, back to the Washington, D.C. thing. It kind of goes with character and ethics and living with God and being an example of God and demonstrating these good characteristics. They teach the characteristics in elementary school, you know, trustworthiness, friendship. I'm sorry, I can't name all five, but trying to get kids to demonstrate these characteristics, which I think is a really good place to start. But I think that each one of us could look at our immediate sphere of influence and be examples of God and use our character traits to demonstrate this. So personal convictions kind of tie into that, and so there's some notes. I have some notes here about five things that you could think about as far as ethics are concerned. Generosity, my ethics must revolve around giving myself away. Justice, my ethics must revolve around a desire for justice for all. Excellence, my ethics must revolve around setting a standard above average. Service, I like this one, my ethics must revolve around adding value to other people. And convictions, my ethics must revolve around a firm inward compass. So, you know, getting to know God a little bit better and deciding what your values are and what your convictions are, and then using your powers for good instead of evil. So if each one of us in this room did that, we could have a little bit better of an influence on what's going on around us in the world and kind of just send some good energy out into the divine matrix and apply that understanding to, and even the prayers for our leaders, because it is a tough job. And it's a fight every day to wake up and make the right decisions and resist the temptation to be negative in whatever way. So I'm trying to do that too. And like kind of going back to the reality and the negativity. And yeah, bad stuff happens. And it really isn't fun when you have to experience that. But again, with the faithfulness and the understanding of and knowing God and the understanding that it's Earth School, I think we can apply a little bit of that to say to rise above the bad stuff and just look for the good, look for the silver linings in what seems to be bad. Some good examples of that are the best example I can think of is America's Most Wanted. That's the most known. That gift that came out of a tragedy. John Walsh lost his kid, and they didn't find the killer until after the killer was dead. And so he had to live his whole life not knowing and wondering why something like that had to happen. But just maybe, that had to happen so that John Walsh was inspired to save all these other people. And if you think about the sweet soul of that boy who decided to, you know, decide to come into that life and be the one to say, okay, I'll do it, you know, if it's going to help this many people. So, you know, it's all part of that Earth School. It's part of that understanding. But I think the best we could do is use our powers for good instead of evil. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody.